when disaster strikes. Will you be ready?
Good evening, and we begin tonight with the monster hurricane and its deadly impact already.
When all hope is gone, will the government be there for you? If you're looking for ways to take your prepping to the next level, then you've come to the right place. Broadcasting from a secure and well-prepared location, it's time for Prepping 2.0. And now, please welcome authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Welcome, everyone.
This is Shelby Gallagher. Welcome to Prepping 2.0. I am here with my co-host, Glenn Tate. Hello, Glenn.
Hello, Shelby. Co-host, and what other word would describe our relationship?
Spouses.
Yes, spousal units. Yes, we are. That's right. Well, I wanted to welcome all the new listeners. We have so many new listeners at any given time because the show, quite honestly, is going bananas. Downloads and tons of new terrestrial radio
Goodness,
listeners
yes.
in the Western United States. And so that is cool. And I say the Western United States and tons of new listeners. That would exclude probably people in large parts of California where you don't have any electricity. So sorry, Californians. I guess you're not going to be in the new listener category because you have no electricity. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Well, the rolling blackouts have been crazy. So if you do get a chance to listen and you're in California, I hope you're prepping because you guys will be having rolling blackouts for years to come, according to the news that we're hearing out of California. And God bless you. That's not a great place to be.
Yeah, rolling blackouts as long as you have Democrats running your state, which will be forever.
Yeah.
We're
just stating the truth here.
If you're listening on generator power in California, thank you for joining us.
Yes.
I wanted to give a little bit of an idea about the topic of the show and the word motivation, because this is episode 53, motivation to keep prepping. Motivation can mean a lot of things, and let's drill down on what we mean about this, because I'm a fan of letting people know early on in a show what it's about so they can decide to listen or not. You have choices with your time, and we think this is a great use of your time, so I wanted to give you an idea of what we're talking about. Well, prepping 2.0ers are already prepping. They're at that next level, and most of you listening are 2.0ers. So when we talk about motivation, it's not motivation to start prepping. You've already started prepping. You're at least a prepping 1.0er. So we're not trying to convince you why to prep. What we would like to talk about today with motivation stuff and concrete examples, not, you know, fluffy Dr. Phil motivational speaker stuff. I mean, concrete stuff. We want to talk to you about motivation to keep prepping. And there's two sides to the prepping coin that we're going to talk about, and I wanted to give you an idea about that because it's not just rah, rah, rah. The first side of the prepping motivational coin is to do more. That's pretty obvious. That's what everyone expects us to say today. Hey, keep prepping, prep, do this, and keep going. And there's that too. We'll talk about why now is a particularly good time to amp up your preps. But the second side of the prepping motivation coin is to dial back, take a little bit of a breather, to stay motivated. You have to be motivated, and you have to relax to stay motivated. And we address both of those today by looking at the preps we did this summer. So you see, it's not just like, dear diary, here's what we did this summer. Not like those atrocious Christmas letters. People don't send Christmas letters anymore. They just put stuff up on Facebook.
They send a text. They send a text.
Yeah, that's right.
Or send an emoji on a Facebook, exactly.
Right. But it's not like, dear diary, what we did this summer, because quite honestly, why would you listen to that? I mean, that's very self-indulgent. It's like, hey, these two people did this. How does that affect me? We will illustrate the two sides of the prepping motivation coin by looking at stuff we did that summer. What else will be in this show, Shelby?
Well, we are at the end of the show. We always kind of run out of time, which is a great problem to have. We always carry it over into our show that we give to our Patreon supporters, which is great. And they always ask the most amazing questions that are just meaty. And so we'll be continuing the conversation there and then answering their questions.
Can I confess that sometimes I get lazy on show prep, not this show. You'll see what we're talking about here. 3-page outline, by the way, for this show. But I get a little bit lazy because I'll sit there and I'll go, geez, what would be a great after show? And I go, I don't know. Let's put up a post on Patreon asking Patreons to give us their questions. And ding, ding, ding. Sure enough, we have 14 awesome questions on a variety of topics. And so, Patreons, not only thank you for making the show financially possible, because it costs us money to produce this, and it's really well produced because we hire someone who's really good to do it. I could never do this. And not only thank you for that support, but also thank you for the great questions. And I encourage folks to become Patreon subscribers to listen to the after show. One way we're doing that is the last episode, episode 52, was with Sean Swanson, which has been really, really well received. Tons of emails from people, Facebook posts, people saying, can you believe this? It was on the cartelification of America, and it was some really, really mind-opening stuff on the threats we face and all of that. We made that after show because it was so spectacular and informative in helping people figure out what threats they need to prepare for. We made that after show available for free on the regular show. So we wanted you guys to hear what an after show is like, because I think for $2 a month, which is the starting Patreon thing, you'll realize, oh, geez, $2 a month. Yeah, it's worth it to get after shows like that. So, yes, ma'am.
And I will put this in there. The whole idea when we started the Patreon after show was that so people could have kind of this kind of intimate little forum to have kind of special content. And good on the Patreon folks. They've kind of made it into this. That's the access you're paying for. I mean, it's $2 a month. It's not much. But you get to come in and get this great conversation, and you get to hear questions being answered and that sort of thing. So you've created kind of this whole little community over
here. I was just going to say community. It's been cool. We have a lot of interaction with Patreons. We're looking at doing some more community stuff that I won't say out loud until Shelby and I have made sure we have the time to actually do it right, which is a good foreshadowing on the prepping motivational stuff about time. I wanted to mention three of our four awesome sponsors, and Shelby's going to cover the fourth. This has been a blessing, everybody. These sponsors have been very, very instrumental. EMP Shield. They make a device for real that works for real that shields whatever it's wired into from an EMP, an electric magnetic pulse, or a coronal mass ejection from the sun, a CME. And go on to our website, prepping2-0.com. Go to the Friends and Affiliates tab. You'll see the EMP Shield logo. Click on that. And from our website, you'll end up getting $50 off every device you buy. They're about $300, so pretty significant savings. So thank you to EMP Shield. Another great sponsor, we love these guys, Numana. They make freeze-dried food, and I would say in sort of more of the bulk size, more of the family servings, not like backpacking single meal kind of stuff. And it's great. They have non-GMO, they have non-gluten, they have organic stuff too, which is great. If you have somebody in your family like me, for example, who has a gluten intolerance, pretty key. Numanna, N-U-M-A-N-N-A. I think of it as like manna from heaven, but it's new, numanna.com. Coupon code is PREP, and you get the 10% off KT Armor, C-A-T-I Armor, and that stands for Come and Take It. I assumed it was the guy's daughter was named Katie, right? But it's Come and Take It Armor, C-A-T-I Armor. Coupon code GRANT for Grant Mattson, and that gets you 10% off steel body armor plates, which are great. They're a little heavier than some of the other ones, but guess what, guys? They're way, way cheaper. They work. And you're probably not a special forces guy hiking 25 miles a day. Steel plate should be fine for 95% of you out there. And then Shelby, new sponsor, tell us about this.
I'm so excited about this. Ace 2 Tactical, that's A-C-E-T-W-O Tactical, reached out to us just recently, and they deal in paracord accessories, specifically slings. And if you've read my books, which I encourage you to do so, you know I am very pro paracord. Paracord is one of those things that I think everyone should have in their bug out bag. Everyone, it's got a gazillion and one uses. Just Google it. And we got connected with these folks, really good folks. And here's the thing. They do slings and kind of tactical accessories, which is great. Go check them out at their website, Ace 2 Tactical. I have made a paracord sling, and it took me about 2 or 3 orders from Amazon to get the hardware, and about a whole weekend of doing the special weave and a lot of measuring and all of that to do it. I look at their prices that they have for their slings, and I don't know how they do it. They make high quality products out of paracord. So if you're ever out in the woods and you are caught in a crisis or emergency situation, paracord can save your life. So look them up. ACE2, again, TWO Tactical. Use the coupon code PREPPING20 and you'll get 15% off your purchase, which is great. Love having them as new sponsors and love that their focus is on paracord. So welcome, ACE2 Tactical.
And then Shelby, tell folks about what else we have going on. Go ahead.
I'm excited about this. So switching from sponsors to what we're doing, what we do with our fun merchandise, many of you are well aware of what we do with our patiently awaiting the collapse kind of line of products now. Yes, Glenn.
I can tell you the patiently awaiting the collapse t-shirt, which, I stole your thunder.
You stole my thunder.
Thunder stolen.
Take it back.
Thunder reparations. I need to give you your thunder back.
Exactly. I feel so much better now. We have just developed with a really great vendor, Patiently Awaiting the Collapse t-shirts. If you go to our website, prepping2-0.com, click on shop, and you will see not just the t-shirts, which are great. You will also see our stickers, our magnets, all of those sorts of things. This has been a fun line that has just kind of grown because it's just kind of fun. It really does cover what we think about and talk about here.
Yeah, and I can't stress enough how cool the Patiently Awaiting the Collapse t-shirts are for one reason. The conversations that emerge. So this is a funny story I told on the last episode, but we have so many new listeners telling on this one too. I'm walking around with shirt number one, prototype number one of Patiently Awaiting the Collapse, and this random dude says, "What does your shirt say?" And I said, "It says Patiently Awaiting the Collapse." He goes, "What collapse?" And I laughed and I said, "You'll see.
You'll see. Just
hang
in there."
And I walked off. And I walked off. So that's fun. That's a fun conversation to have. I felt so prepared and kind of a little bit superior to people who are unprepared. I have to tell you, I felt that way.
But and let me just add this too. All of the I Miss America products that we've had all along are still over on our shopping page. But let me also add this too. As the holidays come up, one of the things we had a lot of fun with this last year. We're going to do it again this year. You can order autographed copies of our books, and those make great gifts. The stickers and the magnets and all of that make great stocking stuffers. So encourage people to check out our shopping page. And looking forward to that. And then you have something to talk about with the Top 100. Take it away, Glenn.
I do. And this is a great idea Shelby had when we first started the show, was to go through the list of top 100 things that go quickest in a collapse. It's on our website.
It seems very fortuitous this week, too.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Prepping2-0.com has got the list. And once a week, we get to remind people of something on this list. Most of these things on the list are things you wouldn't necessarily have thought of, but when you hear it, you go, "Oh, geez, that makes sense. I can see why that would be important." Well, speaking of this week, as California is unnecessarily and brutally plunged into darkness because of communist dopes who are running your state. I hold nothing
back.
Don't
hold back there, Glenn. Let's just put it out there. Awesome.
Yeah. Flashlights, lanterns, and headlamps. You got to have light. Flashlights are key. I always say we're in the golden age of guns.
We're in the dark age of electricity, apparently.
like products have never been better when it comes to guns, and prices have never been cheaper. That is doubly true of flashlights and headlamps. Now you can get 500 lumen flashlights for like $75. And the
rechargeable.
It's amazing. It's if you haven't looked at flashlights lately, I think you should. Mm-hmm. Huge fan of headlamps. You can't live without them. Try being in the woods for about 2 days or 2 nights, I should say, without headlamps. It's the way to go. And you'll notice that operators and others often have headlamps because it just makes sense. You need to use your hands.
Well, right. Yeah. And as soon as you find yourself putting your flashlight in your mouth or in your armpit, it's time to get a headlamp.
Oh, that's gross.
It is, but that's what you do. It's like, I'm going to stick in my armpit so that I can use two hands to maneuver whatever I need to maneuver, and then you drop it, and then your hands, you can't let go of what you just put your hands in, right? Because you've got to hold, it doesn't work. So headlamps are awesome for that. And yeah, and I will say this, going back to our kind of our joking, but not really joking about what's going on in California. Sadly, as you and I were sitting here getting ready to do the show, we just got an alert that...
From Alerts USA, which we love.
Pacific Gas and Electric announces public safety power shutoff to begin today in Northern California. 2 million people. All of the blackouts up to this point, the first one I believe was like 750,000. The one going on right now is about 300,000 to 400,000. This afternoon, 2 million people. So these are problematic. This is not good. And so, get your lumination going on. So another thing that's been going on over here at Prepping 2.0 is Facebook. Yeah. We've had a lot of blackouts. No, I'm kidding. Well, as many as you know, about end of August, our Prepping 2.0 Facebook page got just unpublished. We got one little notification and it went poof. And it was a page that we'd worked really hard with our team to build that up to a really good following. We appealed, didn't work. End of September, we got another one of those notifications. And I'm just like, oh, for the love of Pete. What the heck?
Wow, watch your language.
I know it.
Jeez Louise.
So I did my appeal this time. First of all, I was the one that wrote it. Another person wrote it that time. And I wrote it in a very groveling. Groveling is that's the number one word I can think of. Apologetic and millennial sounding appeal. And I also asked them, please tell us what was so offensive. Because that's the one thing. Every time this happens, they're like, what did we say? There's times when especially because we're working with a team of people, I'm like, okay, what you would say, you're saying things that I wouldn't necessarily say, whatever. We never, ever get an answer to that question, which is what is so just mind-blowingly aggravating about Facebook. And that if you Google it out there, when people get unpublished, that's the number one thing. We don't know what we did to piss these people off. I'm sorry, to upset these people. So miracles of miracles. Within a few days, our page was republished. So you are now going to see and I made promises in my groveling statement, we will be nicer and kinder. So what you are now going to see on the Prepping 2.0 Facebook page is a lot of cat pictures.
Because that can't possibly go against anything.
That seems to be what keeps people happy at the Facebook towers of
evil.
Evil. You will see, so we have become more humorous. And honestly, what's really sad is that we're very, very much less political, which is sad. So go ahead, Glenn, what are your thoughts on that?
May I add, yes, a little bit less political on Prepping 2.0 Facebook page. You can always get the political stuff on 299 Days, the book,
or
Facebook
a great state.
Page,
yeah, I'll put some stuff over there.
Or Shelby Gallagher page or the Glenn Tate page. So less politics on the Prepping 2.0. And you're right, and more cats, because we're actually mocking Facebook when we do that. Well, we have cute cats. There's that, too. Yeah, I said that. That's right. We have cute cats.
We do. Is that one's sitting right here next to me, and she looks really cute. I should take a picture and put it on Facebook.
But the other thing is, in all seriousness, Shelby has been knocking herself out and putting up probably 3 or 4 really meaty, information-filled articles a day on the Prepping 2.0 Facebook page that I'm serious. This is really good stuff. And I'm reading them all the time, and I'm thanking her for putting them up. So if you want some good information and you want some cat pictures, go ahead and go onto the Facebook page, Prepping 2.0 Radio Show or something like that.
Yeah, you can find the link to it on our website at prepping2-show. There's a little link where you can jump on over there, which is great. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I wanted to get into the main topic here, which is motivation. And Shelby, why don't you set the table for us on motivation?
So your motivation to prep, we all know this. And we've talked about this, especially in the early stages of our program here. Prepper burnout. And I think at one point we even called it kind of prepper fatigue.
My
motivation in prepping is not to do it at such a fast pace that I burn out or I fatigue myself. And that's kind of that prepper hyperdrive. And we talk about it. Back in 2008 and 2009, there was a certain demographic amongst our movement of people that happened to. And we've talked to those people, and it's a thing.
Yeah, I wanted to say there's reasons to talk about this and to try to avert both prepper burnout and prepper hyperdrive. I'm a big fan of always saying to people what the problem is. And then so you know why you're doing something. And so the problem with prepper burnout, obviously, is that you just kind of shut down and you quit prepping, which is a problem because you shut down and quit prepping. The other thing to think about is it sends a signal to those around you, maybe in your family, that this prepping thing is some kind of weird addiction that creates this spike in activity, and then all of a sudden you go down. You know what I mean? It's just, it's not healthy. And then, of course, prepper hyperdrive also creates problems. You burn yourself out, but also think about your family. They're looking at you and thinking that you've lost your mind. And I'm not kidding. I mean, I'm serious. This is a problem. And then they think you're a crazy weirdo. And then when the stuff hits the fan, they're going to be less likely to follow you, which could get people killed. So there's actual reasons. This isn't just so everybody feels better about themselves. This has actual important reasons why we're looking into this. And so to set a bit of the stage, a reason to, you know, to prep. One thing, well, this is going to contradict what we're going to say later, but it needs to be said. A reason to prep and hopefully not be in hyperdrive, but to be pretty active in all of this, is the famous Sam Culper potato chip quote. Now, Sam Culper is an amazing guy. He's at Forward Observer. He has a YouTube page and a podcast and webinars and does intel stuff for preppers. Highly recommended. Sam Culper once said, if you really think a civil war is coming, you're not going to sit on your couch and eat potato chips. I thought that was brilliant because mm-hmm. if you understand why you need to prep, you're going to prep. So you need to prep. Don't be the potato chip eater. And also now with this recent thing, and this is now late October when we're recording this, a legitimate poll saying that 70% of Americans think that we're on the verge of a civil war. Kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If 70% of Americans believe something, whether it's true or not, it's kind of become true because people believe it. And so we are in dicey times, which would mean you should probably be motivated to do a lot of prepping. However, we're going to kind of mitigate that and refine that and calibrate that with some thoughts. Yes, be motivated to prep, but consider some of the following
stuff.
And
here's the tricky thing. When you hear that 70% of Americans, because of the political climate we live in, believe that that's going to happen, it's you're going to find us trying to dance around the whole topic of politics. But it's one of the, that's one, obviously 70% of people, if you ask them, what do you think will cause an upcoming collapse? They're going to tell you the political climate. So it's tricky for us because we have to dance around it. But that's going to be one of the things that happens, I think. So we've only got a minute here before we jump into our break. So just so you folks know, we don't try to take political sides. We do have a political side that we land on. We may not agree with people. We get that. But you cannot look at the headlines you see right now and what's happening with the processes that are happening, whether legal or not, and think that this is all going to self-correct. This isn't all suddenly, all right, there's going to be a hearing somewhere, things will be decided, and we're going to go back to honky-dory. A tipping point has been reached that we will not be able to recover from because the divide has become too deep. And that is, I think that's fact. I don't think anyone would... If you're not a prepper, if you don't think that that's about to happen. So we're going to let you stew on that for a little bit. We're going to take a quick break and don't go away. We have so much more to talk about.
Yeah, we sure do. Please stick around. This is the meaty stuff is in segment two. You're going to love it.
We'll be right back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate right after this.
Prepping 2.0 is about that next level of prepping. One of the key 2.0 items to have is bulletproof body armor plates. I used to think body armor was too tactical for a regular guy like me, but it isn't. Give yourself, your family, and your team an unfair advantage when bullets are flying. Body armor used to be expensive and hard to get. Not anymore. KD Armor, and that stands for Come and Take It, makes solid and affordable body armor for normal people. Get body armor while you can. The clowns in Congress are trying to prohibit future sales. KD Armor is the place to get it. CATIArmor.com. Prepping 2.0 listeners get a 10% discount when you use the coupon code GRANT.
PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Looking to meet other like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own prepper group? Already have a group? Join PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet has gathered the biggest names in the industry to help unite preppers everywhere. Join John Jacob Schmidt, Scott Hunt, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, Glenn Tate, Shelby Gallagher, Charlie Hogwood, Samuel Culper, Survivor Jane, Rick Austin, Franklin Horton, Ryan Mitchell, and Brian Duff. Our team is united. Check us out at PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. PrepperNet.com.
Shelby Gallagher here. We found that you need to layer your food preps.
Yeah, this is Glenn Tate here. A lot of times the hardest part of layering is the long-term foods. We love Numana foods, which have a 25-year shelf life and are non-GMO. Also, organic meals are available.
Numana comes in family-style portions and in bulk. This is not backpacking food. It's family meals that last for at least 25 years, the perfect freeze-dried part of your food layering.
You can get a sample of Numana meals for $19.95 and see for yourself. You will be amazed.
Prepping 2.0 listeners get a 10% discount by entering the code PREP.
Go to Numana.com or click the link on the Prepping 2.0 website.
Give it a try. Numana.com. That is N-U-M-A-N-N-A.com.
And we're back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Welcome back, everyone. Shelby Gallagher here with my co-host and spouse, Glenn Tate. We're talking about just kind of Prepping 2.0. What are we going to name this show, Glenn?
Well, it's the motivation show.
Oh, there you go. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, that's right.
So here's the nuts and bolts of it. Summer is when a lot of people get a lot of stuff done, and we are no exception to that. So we wanted to reflect with you on what we did, what Glenn and Shelby did this summer. And again, this isn't like, hey, we went to the Grand Canyon and then we went to Fiji. No, this is on what we did specifically for preps this summer. And we did not take our own advice. We probably did it at a bit of a faster pace than we should have because we're a little exhausted. But I'm glad we did what we did, and I'm glad we're taking now kind of this fall time to take a deep breath, reflect what were hits and misses, and what we can do to improve, and what we'll do next. And so let's just start. We've got a list here, so yeah. Glenn's at the top of the list. You go.
Yeah. I'll call this category of stuff the property and facilities stuff. And this is in no order. This is just how we thought of stuff.
Yeah, we just kind of brainstormed, really.
Yeah, don't read any importance into this. Like, well, the number one thing they talked about was this. No. It's just stream of consciousness, what we did this summer. I would say the logging we did. We logged several acres of our five-acre parcel. And I don't just mean logged in the sense of remove some trees. There were about 10 years of blackberries that had overgrown and taken over huge swaths of this property. Pretty
really
amazing.
Made it, you couldn't
yeah.
walk through it. It
couldn't
was,
walk
it was
through
bad.
It. And you couldn't maneuver and a bunch of other things, and bad guys could hide. So there were a lot of prepping reasons. We did it mostly for sheer aesthetics and goodness. It turned into a pretty big project. We removed a couple log trucks of alder and other weed-like trees and kept the evergreens. Got rid of the blackberries. That was a major project. We also got a really good shed. We didn't get like a Home Depot or Lowe's shed and that, you know, it might rot away in a couple years. We got a legit huge shed for obvious prepping purposes. We're storing a lot of stuff there. And in order to have the shed put where it needed to be, we had to have some excavating done and some pads put down, not concrete pads, but compacted things. So that was a big project. And part of the pads involved the chicken coop. And Shelby, tell folks about the pad preparation for the chicken coop, because you've got a great story on this.
Well, and we've told the story before, but we'll tell it again. And so let me just kind of preempt this too. The same folks that we worked with to do the clearing were also very experienced in laying down pads, and they helped us kind of, where do you want to put the shed so we can clear it out the way you want it? So it was kind of this ongoing conversation with the same group of guys, and they were awesome. So what I wanted to do, and this is something I learned along the way in my prepping, is I wanted to put in a chicken coop. We wanted to put in a really good one that I wouldn't have to rebuild in a year or two because of whatever. And we also live in the woods where there are predators, and we hear them and we see them. So it needed to be predator-proof, and chickens are, somebody said it the best to me once, they are the feeder fish of mammals. Everyone's an enemy to them, and everyone wants to eat them. So, this great idea of excavating down, digging down. I think we went down 2 or 3 feet, laying down boulders, which we had plenty of after all the excavating, and lacing barbed wire in those boulders. I have had, living in a city, my chicken coop dug under by a predator, a raccoon, and just completely obliterate my chicken coop that I had in the city. Predators will dig under fences. Even if you just dig it down a little bit, I wanted it so that if they dug down, they would, one, meet rock and or barbed wire and be deterred. And so when we were doing that with our excavating guys, they were like, really? You really want to do that? And then once they finished the project, they were like, nope, this is buttoned up. Those were his exact words. This is buttoned up. So our chicken coop got not only secured really well from underneath, we then assembled it. And that turned into, again, more of a project than we thought. We had to build a base to it. We bought a really high-end plastic, when I say plastic, it's not flimsy plastic, it's high-grade plastic for the chicken coop. The reason why is because it's not rotting wood that the feces from chickens can start rotting through. And then we connected to it a chicken pen. And so there was a lot of, like, you and I did some layman's sort of engineering that got that put together. And you can go check that, some of those pictures out on social media. That took us some time and honestly...
Three weekends
and a lot of, would this idea work? All right, let's try it out and see. And it worked out really good. So hats off to you, because that could have been, we could have thrown in the towel at any point, or we could have gotten really angry and thrown down our tools and stomped off, because there were some aggravating points on that. So we did well in chicken coop. The chickens are here. We ordered chickens at the beginning of September. They look full grown now. We should be getting eggs here soon. So the chicken coop is a good example of one of the new things in this project in our summer that we're still kind of getting used to and understanding what we have. The shed is a good example of that. We have it. It's got a few things in it. We haven't even scratched the surface of what it can do for us in our preps. The other one is the greenhouse. The greenhouse came with the property when he bought it. The previous owner really let it fall to the wayside. Over the last year, not just this summer, we have cleaned it up. We've added some more raised beds in it and experimented more with what grows and doesn't grow well in that thing. And again, that greenhouse is a good example of learning curve stuff. There are things that don't grow in that thing when it's super, super hot in the summer. I'm really realizing that. So that's another thing, the improvement of the greenhouse and learning it better. There's some other ones that we did, though, too, Glenn.
Yeah, here's something that a lot of people don't think of as a prep, but it sure as heck is. Medical. And I don't mean medical training, although we did that, too. What we did is, I wear glasses, and we don't have any vision insurance or anything like that, so I just bit the bullet, got over $2,000 worth of glasses, extra glasses, you can see how important that would be, some really good prescription sunglasses that, you know, I use a lot, and then ballistic glasses that, you know, they have the transitions thing and they're bulletproof, not proof, but resistant, all those kinds of things. And because you need really good eyewear, those glasses will last me, you know, 10 years or something like that. And the shooting glasses I got are particularly important because you can't scrimp on that. What kind of medical stuff did you get, Shelby?
Oh my gosh. So I have had, because of where I've been in life, I think a lot of us do this too. I've had some dental work that has needed to be done that I was ignoring and not paying attention to because I didn't have dental insurance and because, frankly, I didn't have the resources to do it. And I bit the bullet.
Did you say bit the bullet with dental work?
I really couldn't. Honestly, I couldn't bite the bullet because I was so numbed up for most of the summer. But
her teeth looked like candy corn. No, I'm kidding.
No, they didn't. But they felt like it sometimes. But and I'm still in the process of getting. If you've done, you know, dental work, you know that you got to keep going back, and they keep having to recheck things and all of that, especially this kind of stuff. So, getting that taken care of. Why? Because these sort of things, one, lead to major infections, which is where I was headed. They can lead to really poor health, especially teeth. And I don't want to be dealing with this during a collapse, which I, you know, you and I have talked about. 2020 is looking dicey, and the rest of America, 70% of them think that that's happening too. So I wanted to get these things buttoned up and taken care of. before I needed to get a pair of pliers and start pulling. So that's another one. The other one that you and I have been working on, you have a, I'm so excited about this. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, tribe. Tribe, that's right.
We're building our tribe.
That's right. And I'd like to first distinguish the team and tribe, although there's a ton of overlap. Everyone's familiar with the team. You've probably read 299 Days. They're real guys, gunfighters, trusted dudes, all that kind of stuff. And the team is still the team. We'll talk about team training we did, and that's been going really well. We're expanding here where we are.
Where we live.
Where we live, to tribe. And that is a group of families that are all on the same page, all of whom have skills and all of that, vetted people.
Motivations.
Much like a tribe would be, because we think that a tribe is the conceptual organizing model for what it's going to take to make it through this. So this is several families, basically. And I'm not going to give details because it's an OPSEC thing, but two families are picking up stakes and moving across the country to be with us here because they too want tribe, and they understand that what we, Shelby and I, have going on here is special and unique and is going to be the kind of tribe infrastructure that it takes to make it through this. So two families picking up stakes, you know, and we also worked on our auxiliary. Special Forces model is you have three legs to the stool, and if you think about, if you picture in your mind a stool with three legs, each one of these legs is important because if it's short or not existent, you're going to fall down. Direct action guerrilla fighters is stool number one, or leg number one. Leg number two is the auxiliary. These are people that help you. They provide intelligence, food, safe houses, and then there's the underground who are support people, you know, driving you there and all these other things. Well, the auxiliary is key to all of this. And Shelby, what have you done this summer to work on your auxiliary part of this?
Well, and I don't know where these folks fall. And by the way, the scratching sound in the background is our wonderful dog, Maddie Tate Gallagher. She has her own Facebook page, and her nails are running along this piece of plastic, which is just an unpleasant sound. But anyway, so I'm going to just preempt this too. So many times people come to us and go, how do I find other preppers in my community? And I hope you're hearing some of what we've done here in our community. As I've gotten to know more and more people since living here, I have gotten to know people who are like-minded like me, and I have gone to them, and specifically female friends, the ladies out there that I've gotten to know. I know them as preppers. I know them as patriots. I know them as people who see things through the same grid that I do. And so I have said to specifically women, how would you like to get together as a women's prepping kind of group where we, one, pool resources, and to learn skills together. We're going to be looking for classes where we can learn how to dress chickens, where we can learn how some preparing meat. In other words, if one of us is able to tag an elk or a deer or something, how do we dress that and preserve that meat? Some of the things in our area, we're going to be looking up classes and taking those and pooling resources and putting and making it so that we have this group of women that honestly, they need the resources. They are both single, the other women that I have in this group that need to be able to lean on a group, but they also know that they need to bring skills to the group. So they, the women I've approached have been enthusiastically going, yes, I've always wanted this. Thank you so much. Let's get together and get this going. So yeah, go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, and I can't stress enough the importance of women doing traditional female things in a prepping situation. I mean, these ladies, and I've got to know them well myself. Obviously, we don't just have like random people joining this tribe, but very, very talented and going to be very, very helpful. You don't need to have like a veterinary degree to be helpful.
No.
There's tons of stuff that these ladies are going to be able to do that's going to be really, really helpful. It's not all gunfighting.
And I need to add in here, there's also going to be more ladies coming into this as these other families that we talked about are coming in as well. So these are just the two that I've approached personally. So I know they might be listening. I'm like, nope. There's some out there that are going, wait, I'm part of that. So there's that. But there's also others in our community that we've reached out to. And you've done a lot of that relationship building, Glenn.
Yeah, on the male side of things, a heavy equipment guy, I'm going to leave it vague, has become a very good friend.
And he really has an awesome sense of humor.
Yeah, and he's a great patriot, and that's helpful for obvious reasons. I'm getting to know an electrician pretty well who's a very similar mindset and a patriot, and neighbors. Getting to know neighbors. Shelby, tell about those efforts.
When we first moved here, there's some neighbors, a couple that we're thinking about, and they really, and just in conversations, really got to understand kind of how they, you just learn. I mean, I remember having a discussion regarding firearms, and I'm like, they're like us. We need to remember them. And we've had a couple of discussions with them recently. And then there's the other one, our other neighbor that we've talked about in a previous show, where we go driving by his house, and he's got this awesome orchard and garden. He's got this awesome solar array, and he's got this awesome pedicured property, and you just think he's squared away. And we had a conversation with him recently, and he's like, I am exhausted from taking care of this property. I just now feel like I'm ahead of the game. And we just went, oh yay, we're not the only ones. So really great guy, really is awesome at food preservation, and kind of some of those older skills. And we've had a few good discussions with him.
Yeah, and you might be sitting there saying, okay, how is it a prep to just get to know people? I mean, how does that impact?
I'm going to answer that for you right now. It's what I've said time and time again. I'm not just going to go out to and meet someone and say, oh, you seem like a prepper, join our tribe. No, it is relationship building. And the reason why this is the hard work, I call it, of relationship building, that there is no substitute for. I am not going to entrust any of these people with my lives unless they get to know me and I get to know them, and that only comes with spending time with them, having conversations with them, learning skills with them.
Exactly. It's about barbecues. And this is not awful, by the way.
No.
I mean, this summer we had quite a few barbecues.
Oh, we had so much fun this summer.
Yes.
Been fishing a lot with folks. Yeah.
Exactly. Very deliberately including people, inviting people, getting people in a social setting and mixing. And quite honestly, getting some beers in some people and seeing if they're like psychopaths or not. That's kind of a good thing to know. So that's the time part of this. I don't want to make it sound like it's some awful chore.
It's the hard work of relationship building.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what it takes for tribe and auxiliary and the underground and all these other folks. Well, and in Shelby, I mentioned earlier, I sort of distinguish the tribe and team, although there's huge overlap. I'm going to say like 85% overlap. Tell us about team training.
Yeah, we've had a few, I hope this is what you mean, team trainings this summer with the team. They were very gracious in including me in that, where we're going to go out and we are going to expend some ammo and spend some time doing a lot of training. We also did a lot of just prepping skills. There was one weekend we spent just doing prepping skills. That's the weekend we talk about a lot, where you kind of had a gluten reaction and I came and saved the day. Let's just be honest. I like to talk about that. Fire building, water purifying, food preps. The team has spent a lot of time doing some trainings like that this summer. Is that what you're talking about? You might be thinking of something else, though.
Well, specifically the medical training we had.
Yes.
We did a formal medical class, amazing class with a former ranger.
Well, and yes, let me jump in there and say that this is one of those things that I think everyone, and it's a great team building thing too. One of these TCCC, that stands for something I don't know what, or Stop the Bleed classes, where it's not just, you know, putting a boo-boo training. It's not just your initial first aid classes. Those classes that when there is a catastrophic injury and massive bleeding, you can handle it and take care of it and stop the bleeding until the first responders can get there. Huge. And there's bonding over that. Comms is another one that you and I have done quite a bit in
like
our team.
Yeah, like a real field exercise, like putting on the radios, putting on the kits, push to talks, making sure the frequencies are where they need to be, and seeing how far you can communicate with simple Baofangs. Answer is as long as you really need to in a technical setting. I mean, they're amazing. And yeah, we shot a bunch of ammo, which was good. And it wasn't just like shooting tin cans. When we go shooting on the team, there's a curriculum. There are scores, not to be competitive, but to keep track of stuff.
Well, to keep track of how you're improving.
Exactly, exactly. And it is not, yeah, like hold my beer or watch this, all the YouTube things where the next scene somebody's usually ending up like shooting something or that they shouldn't shoot. Nothing like that. And Shelby mentioned bonding. We go out of our way. It's easy. See, it was just like barbecuing. It's so much fun to hang out with these guys that this is not a chore mm-hmm. whatsoever. But we view the bonding that we do with the team and with Tribe as a prep because it is, and we treat it as a priority like you would any other prep, mm-hmm. and we get that this is part of it. And we've had just dinners here. Team has come. We've gone other places. We're going to go fishing here by the time you guys hear this. We're going to go fishing with the team, which isn't really about acquiring protein as much as it is about hanging out, learning a skill, having fun. So don't ever discount that.
I'm going to stop you right there, though.
Yes.
I'm excited for the bringing home some fish. I love to
you
fish.
Are.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun. You're very competitive, and fish fear you. And I, by the way, I don't have any real fishing skills. I need to reacquire them. I'm always like doing other stuff, making sure the logistics are right and everything, and making sure everybody has the fishing poles they need and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to fish, and I'm going to have fun. We live in a part of the country where we have amazing fish. We, you know, have salmon and stuff. Another thing besides, so we've talked about team and tribe. In contrast to those very human relationships, there's material stuff that we have and that we've been getting. And this is your traditional prepping 1.0 kind of stuff. This is what a lot of people
think of.
This
is always ongoing for us.
As
kind
prepping.
Of thing.
Yeah, but that it's a huge part. So I'll call it the material stuff. Food, we've been getting a fair amount of food and integrating it with our inventory system, which you guys have heard about in the
prior episodes. Yeah.
2.0 stuff. Ammunition.
Always.
Been stocking up. Yeah, you can never have too much ammo, as Shelby says in a certain ad. And it's very true, but you can't have enough of that. May I just say, folks, that like the golden age of flashlights and the golden age of guns, we're in an era in which ammunition prices are never going to be lower.
Oh my gosh, they're awesome.
Talk to, you know, Butch at Ammo Supply Warehouse, for example. I don't really care where you get your ammo. Butch is a cool guy, and we get ours at Ammo Supply Warehouse. But get lots of ammo because now is the time to do it. Guns. Yeah, we've added a few guns. We've been snapping up deals. There have been some pretty amazing deals that have been presented to us, and we have cash on hand to snap up good deals. So that's been something. So acquired some guns, and then optics and accessories, standardized a bunch of red dot optics and accessories like slings and other things. Another material thing that we have picked up quite a few of would be handheld radios and all the fixins, antenna, push-to-talks, all that kind of stuff. Again, Amazon, Baofangs, $25, push-to-talks, you know, $15. Get a lot of them because at $15, they're going to break. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Yeah, and as I said, we've been snapping up deals. And Shelby, what's another major thing we've been doing this summer that has had a big prepping impact?
Oh
my
gosh.
You've been the driver on this, and thank you for doing the work.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And you, if you've listened to prior shows, or if you haven't, go back and listen to them. We got a Harvestrite freeze dryer. Accidentally, but blessingly, fully received a second one, and we've been freeze drying all summer long since about April. We are so excited about what this does for the prepping community. We've become affiliates. You can go over to our website, prepping2-0.com, click on Friends and Affiliates, and click through there and get an idea of what we're talking about, or listen to our previous show. We have stockpiled a whole lot of good food that I've gotten for free or very cheap or out of our greenhouse and put it away
for 25 years.
So we are able to really stockpile food, not just to use if we want to rehydrate it and use it now or have snacks now, but also for later. It has been a game changer for our preps this summer, and we're so excited.
May I jump in?
Yes, please.
Fried foods. Now is the time of year, October.
It's fall time. It's harvest time.
Pumpkin pies are everywhere. And yes, there's the annoying pumpkin spice flavoring of everything, so we're not talking about that. Actual pumpkin pies, Costco has them for $5.99, and they're like the size of Rhode Island. They're huge.
Oh, and to cut them into bite-sized pieces, you have pumpkin pie bites for snacks.
Pumpkin pie bites that last 25 years. So
they're not going to last 25 years in your kitchen.
No, we're going to eat them.
We're going to eat these bad boys before Thanksgiving. Absolutely.
Yeah, what's another thing, Shelby, that that you've been working on in particular? We alluded to it earlier.
We did. And you've heard about the fishing trip that we're going to be having here soon, that it'll be gone and done by the time this show airs. But we have really made a point to figure out the fishing situation in our community so that when this fishing, because it's not just going out fishing for, I don't know, trout. There's also salmon here. We're in the Pacific Northwest, so there's crabbing of all kinds of different varieties. There's halibut and those sorts of things. We've really tried to educate ourselves on this new community and area that we live in. So during the summer, I figured out the whole trout fishing thing, went on a few trout fishing trips, didn't catch anything, but I now know. So when the next trout season comes up in spring and summer, we'll be going out and doing that again and enjoying it. Honestly, I enjoy fishing an awful lot. If you haven't figured that out from my books, I love it. We only have a few seconds left. So again, for those of you who listen to us on Patreon, just keep the play button going. You can hear the rest of the show and the after show. We really encourage you, though, as you can hear what we've done this summer, we are a little bit exhausted. We were doing something. If we weren't working, we were working on our preps, but we had a lot of fun doing it. We're going to rest a little bit now and reflect and hone and sharpen the things that are new to us still, and grow the things that we find as being perfect. So let me leave you with our great quote: failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Have a good week, everyone.
You've been listening to Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate. All of the fun and easy prepping information heard on this podcast can be found online at prepping2-0.com. You can also find out more about Glenn's books online at 299days.com and about Shelby's books online at agreatstate.com. Until next time, be smart, be safe, and be prepared.